From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. On today's program, it is perhaps the ultimate irony. After celebrating 200 years of independence, are Haitians seriously considering the idea of an international protectorate? Apparently so. We'll talk about it. And what began as a legacy of racial discord in Boston 30 years ago is today the focus of an unusual expression of hope through a poem and a glass tower. We'll have a report. Plus, flautist Hubert Laws and all that jazz. That's coming up a little later. But first, paying for health care. In an unusual show of unity, governors nationwide have come together to make a bipartisan appeal to President Bush to protect Medicaid and, in the process, their state budgets as well. But in order to balance the federal budget without raising taxes, there is growing suspicion that the president will take aim at Medicaid, which is allocated for the health needs of the nation's poor and disabled. The cost of the program, on which a quarter of the nation's children and nearly two-thirds of elderly nursing home patients rely for primary medical care, came to about $300 billion this year alone. The bill is divided between state and federal governments, but with record budget deficit, the federal level, stemming from funding for the war in Iraq and from tax cuts, is now the time to tighten the belt on Medicaid. That's the argument. And here to help us sort through it all are Michael Cannon, Director of Health Policy Studies at the Cato Institute in Washington, and Victoria Wachino, Health Policy Director at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, also in Washington. Welcome to the both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Let's start here. Does Medicaid need reforming? For example, signals from the White House suggest the president thinks so. Even some of the governors say tweaking of Medicaid system may be in order. For example, Ohio's Bob Taft calls it the monster in the middle of the road. What do you say, Michael? What needs fixing?
Well, I think it does need reforming, Tony. One of the reasons is that Medicaid, as as aid for the poor goes, is a pretty shoddy program. It spends a lot, as you said, $300 billion. A lot of that money is spent on people who could afford health care on their own. The quality of care under Medicaid is subpar, and it is consuming it an ever-growing share of both federal and state resources. In 2004, Medicaid, for the first time, accounted for a larger share of state budgets than primary and secondary education. And with millions of Medicaid recipients receiving care through the government who could be purchasing it by themselves, well, if Medicaid were a private charity, not only would no one contribute to it because it's so inefficient, but probably the leaders of that charity would be under investigation. So I think that, yeah, there needs fixing, in
your view. Victoria, what do you say? Does it need fixing?
I think there are probably opportunities for improvement. I think I don't share the view that the program is not working. I think it has, for almost 40 years now, very effectively met the health and long-term care needs of America's low-income children, their families, seniors, and people with disabilities. I think the issue that states are grappling with is that for the past 4 years, they've had extremely constrained state budgets. Their revenues fell for several years and are only now starting to recover. And health care costs, both in Medicaid and throughout the health care system, are going up. The increase in health care costs is by no means a problem unique to Medicaid. It's affecting us all. And, in fact, if you look at the growth rates, you see that on a per-person basis, Medicaid spending is growing more slowly than private coverage. I think if when we talk about Medicaid reform, I think what we need to be looking at is how could states be better helped to address these growing health care costs.
Well, it seems that the issue was boiling down to this, whether to give the states more money, less money, or more say or less say in how that money is being spent. Which is the proper road to take, do you think, Michael?
Well, I think that states always want more money and less rules from Washington, and Washington always wants to give more money and more rules. But I think the way to go is for Washington to cut back on the amount of federal funding for this program, allow those states that want to expand their programs to do so, to raise taxes in their own states. They're perfectly capable to do that.
Victoria, what do you...
As well as reduce the amount of rules that Washington gives to states about how states can spend that money.
Let me come to Victoria. What do you make of the governors coming together, Victoria, in a bipartisan effort to preserve Medicaid funding? How unusual is this?
It's fairly unusual. unusual for the governors to make such a strong statement this early in the process. And I think it is very striking that the governors did come together on a bipartisan basis and articulate a shared concern that as Washington moves forward with addressing its growing deficit and establishes its fiscal priorities for the year, that it may well turn to Medicaid and try to cut funding or cap funding for the program, precisely at the time when states are really feeling the need for more assistance from Washington rather than less in order to preserve health coverage for 50 million low-income Americans.
Well, let me follow up with you, Victoria, on this point. Then, if not Medicaid, then what? Where can and should the cuts be made?
Well, I think it comes down to a question of fiscal priorities in the country. We have, for the past 4 years, cut taxes, predominantly for wealthy Americans, and I think we need to ask ourselves, do we want to continue cutting taxes on the wealthiest Americans and to pay for it to cut health care for poor people? Are those our priorities as a nation?
I don't want to put words in your mouth, Michael, but do you agree with the proposition that the states have been wasting the money that they have been given so far with regard to the Medicaid program?
A lot of it has been wasted in a lot of different ways. When the state coffers were flush with cash in the 1990s, states expanded their benefits under Medicaid, and a lot of those expanded benefits went to people who already had health coverage but wanted to go and receive free coverage from the government. Another large source of waste in the Medicaid program are certain what are called fiscal shenanigans, where the states are able to draw down federal dollars and then under presumably legal methods, but then spend those dollars on things other than health care for the indigent. So I think there is a lot of room for, there's a lot of waste in Medicaid. And Victoria mentioned another very important part of this debate, which is health care costs. And Medicaid is a chief culprit in the rising cost of health care. There was a study that was released recently that showed that as the share of, say, a certain drug's market that is attributable to Medicaid grows, the price of that drug increases. And that's because people on Medicaid have no incentive to be prudent consumers of health care.
So are you're blaming the program for the rise in the cost of prescription medication? Is that what you're saying?
It is a contributor to that. And so I think that what has to be done with Medicaid is what's being done in states like New Jersey and Arkansas and Florida, where the states give the Medicaid beneficiaries an ownership interest in the benefits they receive. Instead of a defined benefit, they give them a defined contribution, and those beneficiaries are then able to spend those funds on their own. They get to save what they don't spend, and that gives them much better incentives than they face under the current Medicaid program.
All right,
encourages them to be more prudent consumers of medical care, holds down the cost of care, and also has those medical providers that they go to see responsive to the patient and not to, say, the government or someone else.
I want to direct this to both of you because the incoming Secretary of Health and Human Services, Michael Levitt, is a former governor himself. And when he was governor of Utah, he was known for finding creative ways to stretch Medicaid dollars there. Victoria, you first. What does his cabinet appointment mean for the cause of these governors who are fighting for Medicaid, do you think?
I think it'll be interesting to see the direction that Governor Levitt takes. I think there are some concerns about the policy put in place in Utah where he expanded coverage to a small set of people, but that coverage only included primary care. It did not include hospital care. And so I think it's fair to ask, if you're designing health care coverage for a low-income population that has a lot of health care needs, should that coverage include hospital care? I think most people would say it does. I just want to get back to this idea that states have been wasting money on Medicaid and that Medicaid is driving the health care cost problem, because I think neither is correct. I think if you look at how states built on the program in the late 90s, that really paved the way for Medicaid to make very substantial contributions to decreasing the number of uninsured in the country. And I think as you looked at the past several years and the fall off in private coverage, Medicaid really stepped up to the plate. And without Medicaid, there would have almost certainly been more uninsured children in the country than there are now. I also think that the problem of health care costs transcends private and public purchasers, and Medicaid is by no means driving the problem. I think anyone who's purchased prescription drugs over the past several years is feeling that this is not a problem unique to or caused by the Medicaid problem, but is something that's going on throughout the healthcare system.
Let's bring the conversation to a close with the issue of whether or not the governors are likely to be successful in their quest to have some say with regard to the protection of Medicaid going into the years ahead, given the position that the president has already made clear that he's looking for cuts and Medicaid is certainly near or at the top of his list. How realistic do you think, Michael, the chances are of success for the governors?
I'm not sure that the governors are going to get everything they want, nor should they. I think that if the federal government were to freeze Medicaid spending at 2005 levels, that would cut the 10-year deficit, the federal deficit, by one-third. And I think that while that would leave governors with less funding than they were expecting, I think that loosening the rules on how that money is spent would leave those governors enough latitude so that they could tailor their Medicaid programs to fit their individual states' needs and eliminate a lot of the waste that is endemic.
I'm going to give Victoria the last word. We've got about 30 seconds or so. What do you think? How successful will the governors be?
I think the governors will be listened to. They are the people who run the program, although the feds and the states share the cost. It's the governors who, at the end of the day, run the program. And I think they are rightly expressing concern about health care policy for poor people being driven by budgetary decisions.
All right, that's the time that we have for today. Michael Cannon, Director of Health Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Victoria Wachino, Health Policy Director at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. They both joined us from the nation's capital. Thank you again for being on the show today.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.